very much that Brother Kraft is not here, because he's one of my very dearest friends. But something beyond his control kept him. But I'll tell you one thing, the Lord is here tonight.
Amen.
Great presence of God. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to do something very special for us here in the next 45 minutes. Hallelujah. I wonder how many we have over the building tonight that are in need of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Could I see your hands? Just please lift them up. Praise God. There's enough here for a good revival. Amen. I wonder how many we have here tonight that as a Sunday school teacher and a worker, you want the Lord to give you a renewed vision and a burden for the great work of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you saints of God that are here tonight would like to leave here with a complete renewal and refilling of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Praise God. The Lord can take care of all of that in the next 45 minutes. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I'm inviting your attention tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And for a subject, I would like to use, life is a drama. Life is a drama. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'd also like to read from the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? But there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and encheweth evil. Satan answered, Lord, the Lord, and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? Lord, tonight we thank you for the great presence of the Lord. Holy Spirit, that is good. We're asking for the anointing, that you would anoint the lips of clay, that we may speak as the oracle of God to this people. We feel our insufficiency, our inadequacy, but the Holy Ghost is real tonight. Anoint hearts and ears that they might be receptive to the word of the Lord. Stir and challenge us, God. We pass this way but once. How important it is we utilize our life the glory of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Life is a drama. If you are familiar with drama, and I'm certain some of you are, the actors that play a very important and pertinent part in the role of that that is to be dramatized in that particular play. It is vitally important that they move at the precise moment. The director of that drama, who has offered the script and has prepared the cast, will inform each actor as to his move and when he is to be thrust out on the stage. He is to give it all that he has while he is before the audience. His part in the great drama may be brief, short. In fact, he may be laying the stage and preparing the groundwork for another that is to come out following him. But if he is an actor to step out on the stage, he must give it all the oomph that he has. I'm trying to lay the groundwork for what I want to say. The church is on stage. Collectively. And we are on stage individually. There are three bodies of spectators that are viewing the drama. There are the angelic host of heaven with the great captain Jesus Christ. The Bible said that the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. He said the very hairs of our head are numbered, and not a sparrow falls to the ground but what our heavenly Father takes note of. So I'm confident they're looking on tonight. Hallelujah. There's another body of spirits from the satanic world, marshaled and led by Satan himself and all the demons of hell. Those two folks are very, or groups of people are very emotional about what they see exhibited and dramatized by the actors. The angelic host is cheering every time the church makes a move in the right direction. And every time you, as an individual, make a move as an overcomer. The demonic world is on the edge of their seat, very depressed when the church exalts the name of Jesus. And the third body that looks on, simply looks on and is influenced by what they see on the stage, and that is the world. We are performing the great drama. Your life may be lengthy or brief, but the poet said, the clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to know just where the hand will stop at late or early hour. But it's not the length of time you spend on the stage in the drama that counts. It's what you give to the spectators and to the director of that drama that really counts while you're on stage. He stands in the back with a clock stopwatch in his hand. He's saying, it's your turn now. And he gives that big push on the back and says, get out on the stage and give it all you got. And the lights go dim and the curtains fall and your drama's over. And then he shoves another out. The act is on. Give it the best you got, because it'll soon be over. I believe tonight that the church that exists at this period of time
is living in the final act that is going forth on the stage. When we finish our act, brother, that's it as far as the church is concerned. Now, I'm not talking about individuals, but I'm talking about the church. God can call any one of us home. And as far as I'm concerned, I would like to interject this here right now. I'm on stage right now. And I'm going to say some things tonight possibly that may cross your theology and your liking, and you'll say, there goes that Brother Haney again with that same line. Yep, I'm going to stick with that line as long as I've got blood flowing through my veins. There's things that need to be said every so often, and the devil needs to hear it, heaven needs to hear it, the world needs to hear it, the church needs to hear it. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that Satan's concerned about our goings and our comings, you heard the reading in the first chapter of the book of Job. And I believe that Job was on stage because the Bible said that the devil came along with the sons of God when they came before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him." The devil said, "You take the hedge down, let me at him, and I'll show you what he'll do for you." And we know the story, most of us, but I would like to read it very quickly in your hearing. And the sons and the daughters were eating and drinking, wine in the eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job and set the oxen plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and it burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away. Yea, and have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. And then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground, and he worshipped. Hallelujah. He was on stage, but he never let his God down. Hallelujah. I believe there's folks that can go through trial and difficulty and heartbreak and never let God down one iota. They have a conviction in their heart that is deeper than the sorrow they feel in their flesh and in their intellect. Yes, because God has given them a down-to-earth experience. Hallelujah. And your experience and my experience must go deeper than our emotions. It's got to be deep in the heart. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. We're on stage. We're acting. The world's looking on. The demonic world's looking on. And the angelic host is looking on. How are you acting tonight? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord here. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They are looking on. They are watching the church, every move that she makes. Someone says it's not important how the church acts, how it looks, what it does. But I want you to know there are several things that are very important. I will try to give you a rounded out message tonight. Doctrine is important, that we understand that we are the people of the name. Hallelujah. We know about the name. I've heard folks say, preachers say, we don't need issue men. We need to know how to get along. I beg your pardon. We need men that will take issue with sin and false doctrine every time it sticks up its ugly head. We need men. men that will take issue with wrong. Let me inform you tonight that we would not be here as a body of people that understand the doctrine of the mighty God in Christ if it were not for men that took issue with false doctrine several years ago. We would be a part of a conglomerate body that believes just about anything and looks about any way and talks about the charismatic move and glossolalia and is a part of the ecumenical move and sits on ministerial organizations of cities, and we would be a part of a body that intermingles with every denomination in the world. But because men took issue with false doctrine, we are here tonight as the church of God that believes the truth of the oneness of God. We need issue men. We need men that are not afraid to speak out when the issues arise. Somebody said, I like the peacemakers. I do too. But I don't have any use for compromisers. You can have the right spirit and preach the truth. Amen. But you can be kind and mealy-mouthed, spineless, a wishbone instead of a backbone, a good intellectual idea, but not a conviction of the heart. When the going gets rough and the issues arise, you can separate those with the intellectual gospel from those that have convictions in heart. Men that have it in the head and the intellect and are part of a social order or a religious organization, if you please, are men that will be swayed with the popular opinion of a body of people. But men that have conviction will stand up, regardless of where they are, and say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need some Joshuas today that can step out on the scene and the stage when it looks as if the whole body and the crowd and the nation is going one direction and will face the congregation and say, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. We need some Daniels that defy the decree of the king and will pray when the king says you can't pray. We need some three Hebrew children that will not bow down to the images, but would rather go to the fiery furnace because there's conviction in their heart. And I don't have any use for men that just preach a solid basic standard just because that's the thing everybody else is doing. I believe it better be in your heart. We're coming to testing and trying times where it's got to be a conviction. You love it, you preach it because it's a part of your life. We got talking about soul winning last night. You know, that's the most inspiring subject I can think about. Winning souls, bringing them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Started naming some of the folks in the congregation that wasn't in that congregation a year ago. If it hadn't been for a bus pastor, if it hadn't been for somebody on campus knocking and telling folks about the Lord, some of these folks that are sitting down in front of me tonight wouldn't be here. Some of these folks in deaf ministry wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for some bus pastor, somebody knocking on door. Brother Dale Delp that's teaching, who is a school teacher and is teaching in this convention a little over a year ago, his door was knocked on by a faithful bus pastor. She invited him out to church. He came to church. The Lord got a hold of his heart, filled him with the Holy Ghost, filled his wife with the Holy Ghost, and now he's working. You can't work enough. He's excited about it. I'll tell you what, you can't make it in the rapture if you don't believe in soul winning. Soul winning. Every day, every day, every day. You're not just teaching teach in a class, to tell them a little bit about something and a few little cutie stories. You must get the gospel in their heart. Pray them through in the classroom. It's an opportunity. On Sunday morning, we have more sinners in our church than any other time, most of us. Why don't we evangelize our Sunday schools and pray them through? Oh, mere amen or something. God has given us opportunity. We're on stage. Hallelujah. The whole world's thinking about the end coming. Famine, wars, the Middle East crisis, the economic crisis, the governmental crisis, all of these things, and the prices, everything. It's a sign of the last day. They're concerned, reading their Bibles, getting really interested in religions. But I'm not interested in them getting really interested in just religion. We've got to get to them the basic truth of salvation. The Jehovah Witnesses are marching the streets with their hellish, damnable doctrine. And we have the truth of God's Word. And you can't get some spirit force out to knock on doors. I want the Jehovah Witness to get all the converts. Or the Mormons. Or the Baptists, the Methodists, but bless God, the church of the living God must be out in the forefront. I'm just about convinced that a lot of our people don't believe what they talk about half the time. Get up, jump up and down. Bless God, it's Jesus' name, Holy Ghost or hell. You don't know what you're talking about. The rah, 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 hallelujah, glory to God. Preacher, you're out there for the response from the audience. I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Some of you don't like it. I feel good about it. We know we have the message. But if we would waste some of our energy and the oxygen in our lungs telling folks how to be saved instead of jumping up and down and saying, bless God, it's Jesus' name, Holy Ghost or hell, when there's nobody out there but a bunch of spirit-filled people, and the church should have a lot of sinners because of folks knocking on doors, we'd have something to tell them about rather than just jumping up and down. Got the message. We don't need to encourage one another in it. I'm getting deep now. Getting into some real theology here. Some of these same folks won't talk about holiness. They were born again 25 years ago. It doesn't matter what happened since then. You can believe Acts 2:38, the essentiality of water and spirit. If you don't, God pity you. You can believe all that and live like the world. It'll cost you every day to live a holy life. Hallelujah, glory to God. Praise God. Help the preacher tonight. I'm going to tell you, I have been at some of our meetings when I have heard from behind the pulpit, trying to build the crescendo of great response just by hammering on something that everybody believes. That's not what we need. We need to preach on the things we all need to get together on. Some of the old flesh off. Hallelujah. I got to get back to my subject here. So we're still on stage, folks. Hallelujah. We're on stage.
doesn't appear that way. I'm sorry.
Glory to God.
There was an incident in the Bible that I have referred to several times. A king by the name of Ahaziah had come to the final end of his journey, and he was just about to step off stage. He had a mother that was a very wicked woman and had a devilish heart, a greedy mind, and she was diabolical in her plot, and her name was Athaliah. She wanted the power and the control of the kingdom. Her son was dying, and his sons would occupy the throne and would be the presiding leadership of the nation. Because they were royal blood. And when he died, there was only one way she could get control of the kingdom. And that was to destroy the lives of the royal blood. So she planned and engineered a wicked plot to assassinate all the sons of Ahaziah. But there was a woman who was the daughter of a king and the wife of a preacher who lived in the house of God. And the Lord said, as he looked at the watch, it's time for you to step out on the stage. Someone has got to save the royal lineage. She made her plans, Athaliah did. She plotted, she schemed, she planned, she hired the assassins at a precise moment to go into the palace and wade down the corridors into the bedchambers of those sons of the kings and to stick the daggers in their bosom and rip them asunder and let the blood flow on the floor of the palace. And Jehoshaphat I thank God for every man that has a conviction. Even if it means jeopardizing his life and his reputation. When you have conviction, it doesn't matter if they lie on you. You're going to speak your peace. You are set in defense of the gospel. And Jehoshaphat had conviction. She said, I must go to the palace and preserve the royal seed. And her own logic was saying, but look, stay out of there. Your own life is in danger. The dagger may hit you. You can't do it. Why get involved in a bloody mess? But folks of conviction will stand when they're on stage for principle and right regardless of what the crowd thinks. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Brother, this is time for the church, the true church, to look at anything that looks like danger and worldliness and raise up their voices and let the trumpet give the certain sound. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it tonight. I'm on stage. I'm going to give it all I've got while I'm here. Hallelujah. There's some things we've got. church to get the job done. It's a bunch of carnal thinking. We don't need to fool ourselves. The only way the church is going to reach this world is man to man. The program that was introduced to us tonight by our superintendent, Tell the Vision, was the Acts approach to shaking the world. You'll never substitute. Who are we fooling? I'll tell you, there's a lot more behind a 30-minute commercial on television and a 5-minute than what meets the eye. There's the spirit of the world involved. I'm going to preach it with all my heart. It sounds good. But if you can see the truth of the matter, it's the makeup on the face. It's the little personalities before the TV camera. It's the egotistical spirits. Say you're getting too hard, preacher. I'm on stage now. Hallelujah. Glamorized ministry. Cutie sermons. Eloquent times. You know how to stand and how to hold your hand, how to move, all this. I'll tell you what, there's few people that I know that would want to put a good old apostolic Pentecostal service on television. Because we act so crazy sometimes. That's when we're having our best time. Hallelujah. God. We don't need it. And the church needs to raise her voice against it. I want to tell you why. It's not the 30 minutes that I'm against and the 5-minute commercial. I'm against the spirit of what's behind the whole thing. I was 17 years old when I went to my first general conference, and it was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it was some conference in 1955. We took a stand as ministers. And I'll never forget that business session. It was hot and heavy. But there's times it has to be hot and heavy. Our brother took a stand. Somebody said, I think we could have got along without it. I want to tell you something. 50% to 75% of the preachers of the United Pentecostal Church would have a television in their home today if it had not been for the stand in 1955. Why, sure it's true. Why, we just never took a stand, and we can control the dial, so why not bring it in the house? But it's not just the television. It's what's behind that nasty thing. The body hair on the women. It's the painted faces. It's the necklaces and the beads. It's the pantsuits and the mini dresses. And any dress above the knee isn't very good. Get down where they belong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my turn tonight. It's the world of the home. It's the novels. It's the books. It's the attitude in general. It's the long hair that would be on the men in our young boys' growing up. Oh, yes, it is. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody, when you're on stage, you need to tell it like it is. Preach it. Hallelujah. It's all of that, and it's more. I said it's all of that, and it's more. I don't believe preachers need to come out with the latest fashions and styles and look like Hollywood movie stars when they come to the pulpit. I don't believe that. example of the man of God, that should exemplify the man of God when he walks into a hospital to pray for a dying woman or man. He ought to look like a man of God, act like a man of God, and be a man. I don't believe that evangelists, and pardon me, we've got the greatest evangelist in all the world, and I don't know many, but I don't believe evangelists should spend all day fooling around here and there playing ball and come in 5 minutes or 10 minutes before service and try to preach a revival and win souls to God. I don't believe it.
I want to go back to that because we've got some great evangelists, and I'm not picking. I've had some evangelists that spent the whole day on their knees in prayer in the prayer room, and we've had some revivals too. And I'll tell you something else. I won't have one of those kind of evangelists in my pulpit ever that spends his time everywhere but in the altar and playing ball, trying to find the latest fashions and styles, running around all over town, cutting up, telling jokes, doing this, and then coming to the pulpit and trying to get serious and preach the word of God. I don't believe it works that way. I don't want him around. I don't want him around. He's got too many good ones that know how to pray, that know how to knock on doors, that know how to reap a harvest, that love souls. Give us more men like that. And pastors, forgive me. I know it. I'm aware of it. I love you, brethren. Have mercy on me. But if the church is to be spiritual, the pastor has to set the tenor. Oh, yes. You don't goof around. Go on vacations half of the year. You don't do it. Show movies in the church to keep your young people.
There may be something you would show in the church. I want to clear that by that. But you'll never hold your congregation by showing movies and having socials. It takes the old time prayer. Pastor says, I'm losing my young people. I've got to have sports. I've got to have socials. And I've got to show movies. You are off beat. You get a red hot revival going and your young people praying and seeking God and fasting. And those young people will set that church on fire and build each other. Get them knocking doors. Going to heaven, they're going to have to knock doors. They're going to be saved, they've got to be sold. The young people that you have to cater to their carnal feelings will carry you as far as you'll go. They'll lead you as far as you will go with them. Got rid of some of those things a long time ago, and we need to keep them out of the church. God, give us prayer warriors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what Jehoshaphat did when the assassins were going through the palace with their daggers and walking into the bedchambers and slitting the throats of royal blood. She said, I've got to save one. And she made her entrance and walked down those ivory palace corridors. She drew a bedchamber in the back. In the darkness, she heard the hair-raising, terrorizing screams of dying children. But she had to save one. She went to one bedchamber and fell around in the darkening little crib. She found a little bundle, and his name was Joash. And she lifted him up, hallelujah, and she carried him out of that place where the enemy was trying to destroy him. And she took him to the house of God, and he dwelt there. We need some Jehoshaphats in the time of crisis that are not afraid of the knives of the assassins. I'm talking about character assassination. The truth, there's carnal men that would try to assassinate their character. God give us convictions that can look those kind of men in the eye and smile and say, I've got the truth in my heart, and it doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to preach God's truth. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The guy doesn't love God right now. Somebody may be called on stage before all the lights are turned out here tonight. Your act on this great drama may be over tonight. If not tonight, maybe tomorrow. It's going to close. The curtains are going to fall. The drama director is either going to say, you hit your talent, or he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did a good job. The 10 years you were on stage, the 5 years you were on stage, the 50 years you were on stage, you never got carnal with the trends of the world. You never conformed to the attitudes of people. You preached righteousness, holiness, new birth. You preached the church had to live right, love one another, act right. Hallelujah, be a soul-winning institution and body upon earth to make it. And that's the kind of man I instituted in the first place in the book of Acts. And I'm glad you carried it on down through the ages. We're on stage tonight. And God's telling this church, act it out right by your own standards. Give it all you got. We don't believe in a lot of these things. We believe it's come to a head under that little old category of advertisement on television. That's why we're going to Fort Worth to take care of it. Tell everybody you hear and know that I said. I want them to know. That's how we feel. You feel that way? Praise God. I'm getting tired of these old rumors floating around everywhere. Half truths. Tell them the truth. Tell them I said it. Tell them the district feels this way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're on stage. You've come to the divine act. Brother Gleason said, give it all you got. Your act of your honor. You want to know you did your best. I want to relate something tonight in closing that I related and watched that service last night, and I hope family will not mind. But as you know, Sister Margaret McDonald passed this life about 2 weeks ago to be with the Lord. That was my mother-in-law. She was a great warrior of the cross. She was an encourager. And Dr. Harrington said, she's a fighter. She was a fighter spiritually and physically. It's been almost 2 years ago, quite. About a year and 6 months, 7 months, that they first found out that she had terminal cancer. The doctor gave her 3 to 5 months to live. We was preaching the Spanish youth camp at Buena Park, and my wife, brother and sister Ayers, were assisting, and went home to Stockton for the night, and the next day I received a call. My wife said, they said your mother has cancer. What should I do? I said,
Should I go? I said, yes, you should go. They took her to San Francisco. She caught a plane and flew to Eureka. We finished the youth camp. We went home Saturday for visitation. We preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, and after we got through preaching, we went out and got in our car and drove to Eureka. My boy and myself. When I got there, instead of a depressed church, there was a note of victory. They'd been having some prayer meetings. Hallelujah. You can have a song in your heart in the darkest night. You're on stage. Hallelujah. You're on stage. Well, she felt a touch in her body. We come back home after 2 or 3 days. Time passed on. We went back for Christmas. Family was together. About February or March, somewhere in there, I don't have the exact dates. One night, my father-in-law called. He asked for my wife. She wasn't there. I said, I heard a call. I could tell by the tone of his voice that it wasn't good. When she comes, she returned the call, and he said, Dad, please pray. Please pray. She's bad. So we got in the car and drove to the weekend. It was bad. She was at her son's home, Brother John McDonald, the pastor there, laying on the couch, weak, frail, white, trembling. She had been losing blood for days. All we knew to do was pray. Doctors said there wasn't anything they could do. We knew it was in the hands of God, so we prayed. But she was bad. We called the rest of the children in, and they came. They flew from Michigan, St. Louis, come from different parts of California, Oregon. Other members of the family came. That was a dramatic day. We had been away, staying at another house. I come over that morning, and I remember when we walked into the house, the children were wringing their hands. My wife, I saw, of course, first, and she was crying and wringing her hands, and she said, she's died. She's died. Do something. You know, you feel frantic at a moment like that. Do something. Do something. You just call on the name of the Lord. She was laying quietly. Presence of mind. I'm going, she said. I'm gone. I'm going. And suddenly she began to fade off. Children said, oh, mother, don't. Mother, no. Her faithful husband, who I'm sure is here tonight somewhere, was by her bedside. He hadn't left it. He stayed there. Night and day. Praying. Began to cry out to God. Then she, her eyes closed, first they turned glass and they closed. She turned greenish white, still as death, breathing ceased, pulse was gone. We couldn't find it. Cold as death. But I heard three. I watched those children fall on the floor and begin to cry out to God. I saw Brother McDonald fall across the floor and his son, oh God, you can't. God, please. And they prayed. I went over and got in the corner. I'd never heard such praying in all my life, and I was praying, but I knew that family meant business. About 20 minutes later, her eyes opened and she said, without even knowing what was going on, your prayer has prevailed. God has answered. She was back with us. She never claimed entire healing, but she knew that God touched her. She got better. We went home. She'd come down one day, about a month later, 4 weeks later. They drove to our driveway. Said, we're going to the youth conference in Fresno. Unbelievable. come in the house, she walked weakly, a sick woman, but a woman with courage. She was on stage and going to glorify God for the last minute. Laid on the couch several days, and then went to the youth conference and gave her testimony about how the Lord had touched her and practically raised her off the deathbed, which was absolutely so. Come back after the youth conference, went to Sears, gave her testimony. Gave her testimony in the Stockton church. I don't see how she did it, weak with lack of blood in her body, but stood up there and thanked God for what He had done, His touch, His presence, all of this. Stood there, testified, gave all that. Come back, stayed in the home of her father. It was hemorrhaging, violent. Then came to our home. We had the privilege, I said a privilege, to have a warrior of the cross in our home for almost 5 months who was sick and dead. My wife came to me. We talked a little bit about it, making room. She said, how do you feel about it? I said, I'll tell you one thing. If I had the opportunity to have my dad in this home for a few weeks before he went on to be with the Lord, I'd have done it any day. And you bring your mother right in this home, hallelujah. And we were so glad to have them. And I'll tell you what, she was an encouragement to us. Hallelujah. But here is the dramatic part of the drama that I want to bring to you. It'll all be over after a while. And there was those nights of the incapacitated one who could not help herself, who laid on the bed. It required meals specially prepared for her because she couldn't eat what others could eat. She laid there. Her bedding had to be changed. She had to be bathed every day, cared for. I walked by her room. She stayed in our daughter's room, her and Brother McDonald, and I would hear him on the floor crying out to God at 2 and 3 in the morning. I would see him sitting in the corner reading his Bible aloud, because when she couldn't sleep, she wanted the Word of God read in her presence. She'd say, pray, Trav, pray. We would go in and pray for her in the midst of her pain, and God would touch her. It was again and again and again, and a lot of folks would say, put her in a convalescent home. Take care of her. They have the nurses, they have this, they have that. There's a lot of folks that don't want to get involved when there's sickness and trouble. And there's a lot of folks in the church that way. They don't want to drive buses. They don't want to knock on doors. They don't want to teach Sunday school classes. They don't want to get out and clean the church and work on the church. They want an easy road. But I want you to know the curtain's going to close one of these. When that curtain closes, that's your final act. It went on for a long time. And she was carried to the hospital just a couple of weeks ago. A minor surgery. The man in green, Dr. Harrington, walked out. First, he said, it's all over. She is gone. And I thought, never again will we be able to hold her hand in this life and encourage her. We're glad for every word of encouragement we gave her. My wife and the sisters are glad for every meal. Brother McDonald's glad for the times he stayed by our bed. It would have been easier to go away, but he never would leave that bed. He dismissed his work duties to stay with her through the duration of her long illness. But when the curtain closes, he's glad that he gave himself to a warrior of the cross. And there's a lot of easier ways for Christians. They can go easier ways, but when the curtain drops, you're going to be glad you stayed with it until the end. It's all over now. It's all over now. Oh yes, in Psalms, the 30th chapter, 30th Psalm, the 5th verse, it says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah. We're going through the struggles as a church, but there's a great getting up morning when the trump of God's going to sound, and they're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. The blood-washed long to meet their God. Shall we stand right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Help us, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. I believe that this service tonight should terminate in some sort of purpose.